kind of going backwards a little bit to a time right before Jesus' death. Jesus came to earth to teach everything there was about love, everything there was about God, everything there was about how God cares for all of us, and everything can change in no time whatsoever because of who God is and who Christ was. And we see throughout Scripture, we see ourselves sometimes in the Scriptures, at least I do, and I often look at the disciples especially because they traveled with Jesus 3 years, all the 12 disciples, and they learned so much, they questioned so much, they changed so much, and yet some of them didn't change at all until way after the fact. So there's hope for all of us, I guess, is the first thing I want you to know. But I was particularly thinking about two disciples. I had those in mind in light of the fact that we've just gone through the Easter season, Lent, and then Jesus' death and resurrection. And there were different players and different people that were a part of that whole plan that God had. And I looked at two people in particular, Peter and Judas, because they're two people that most of us remember vividly, or at least have heard about those two men that followed Jesus. And they were both different, and yet both were followers of Christ. And each of them had flaws. Each of them fell short of who they could have been. And even though they followed Jesus and watched what Jesus did, they until they knew who God was ultimately, and one of them didn't ever know who God was, and God's plan was meeting Judas, that's when the change occurred. So, and I was studying, and as I was thinking about the two of them in comparison, you know, not their characteristics necessarily, but I was thinking about really both men at the end of Jesus' life. Each of them had a three-day waiting period. Each of them did. Because the same thing happened to Jesus, and there was a three-day time frame where something else changed as a result of the end of those 3 days. But one man who failed miserably, Peter, and we know the story of Peter, did not promising that he would follow Christ and he would die for him and so forth. And if you were, if we read in Matthew, particularly the end of Matthew 26, 27, you'll see that at the Last Supper particularly, you see Peter overpromise and underdeliver. And right shortly thereafter, when Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter couldn't even stay awake. So he had promised that he would die for Jesus, but he failed because he couldn't even stay awake while Jesus prayed overnight while he was in agony. And so we see one side of a man in Peter, that he was somebody who wanted to do really the right thing, but failed miserably. And yet, after the three-day period, something changed for Peter. Now, Judas, on the other hand, totally prior to Jesus' death, Judas played a hand, obviously, as the betrayer in turning in Jesus. And I want to begin in Matthew 26 and kind of read you the story there, and then we're going to see what happens to Judas after the fact, after the same three-day period that could have changed his life differently, as it did change Peter's. Same 3 days. So for those of us that are sometimes in the waiting room of life, or so I look at it sometimes as what I call the three-day rule, I think it's always a good idea before you make any decision, major life change, for example, wait at least 3 days. Some of us have to wait 7. Others need to wait 40. So I don't know who you are, but I do know in 3 days a lot can change. And when we, instead of moving in and trying to be God and do God's decision, I think most of the time, all the time, any one of us, we can at least stop for 3 days and wait before we do something. Because we're saying in that time frame, while we're waiting, God isn't taking this seriously enough. God isn't acting fast enough. So guess what? I'm going to act on his behalf instead. So, in the real estate business, you have 3 days right of rescission to cancel that buying of a house. There's other three-day waiting periods. A good one is, you know, buying a gun. I like that one particularly. Maybe there's a cooling-off period. Oddly enough, there's also that marriage three-day waiting period in some states. You know, are you really serious about marrying this person? It's a lifetime commitment, after all. Don't go into it lightly. So 3 days are even in the world, if you will, there are reasons to wait for knowing, is this the right decision to make? And so in my mind, at least, Peter and Judas were different in this respect. Peter waited the 3 days to see what happened to Jesus. Judas couldn't wait. But also Judas was part of a purpose, granted, but I just think the ending for Judas could have been so different had he waited to see what happened to Jesus. So Matthew 26, to give you the backdrop on this. When Jesus had finished saying these things, he said to his disciples, "As you know, the Passover celebration begins in 2 days, and I, the Son of Man, will be betrayed and crucified. At that same time, the leading priests and other leaders were meeting at the residence of Caiaphas, the high priest, to discuss how to capture Jesus secretly and put him to death. But not during the Passover, they agreed, or there will be a riot. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had leprosy. During supper, a woman came in with a beautiful jar of expensive perfume and poured it over Jesus' head. The disciples were indignant when they saw this. What a waste of money, they said. She could have sold it for a fortune and given the money to the poor. But Jesus replied, "Why berate her for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, but I will not be here with you much longer. She has poured this perfume on me to prepare my body for burial. I assure you, whenever the good news is preached throughout the world, like tonight, this woman's deed will be talked about in her memory." No small act of worship for this woman. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, went to the leading priest and asked, "How much will you pay me to betray Jesus to you?" And they gave him 30 pieces of silver. From that time on, Judas began looking for the right time and place to betray Jesus. So you notice in the story, first of all the disciples were indignant. All of them could have had the same reaction that Judas had. But Judas was the one who turned out to be the betrayer. So he, for 30 pieces of silver, not much money, price of a slave at that time, price of a servant at that time, not much money. He betrayed the Savior of the world for 30 pieces of silver. So his heart obviously was hard right there. And that's what made him a betrayer. So what transpires following this, of course, is Peter denies the fact that he's going to also deny Christ. Jesus prays in Gethsemane this same night. Peter falls asleep with all the rest of the disciples because they were tired. Then Jesus is arrested. And so Judas is the one that brings the Pharisees, the religious leaders, to capture Jesus. So Judas not only betrayed him in terms of helping with the plot, but also is the one that points out who Jesus is in the garden so that he can be arrested. And of course, the story goes on, as we well know, that Jesus is arrested and then they condemn him to die as they take him before Pilate and so forth. And in chapter 27 of Matthew, the story goes on. Very early in the morning, the leading priests and the other leaders met again to discuss how to persuade the Roman government to sentence Jesus to death. They bound him, took him to Pilate, the Roman governor. When Judas, who had betrayed him, realized that Jesus had been condemned to die, he was filled with remorse. So I think Judas really didn't understand what the betrayal was going to mean for Jesus. Perhaps had he known that he would be the impetus to actually causing the crucifixion, being the one that was part of the plot to have Jesus crucified, I don't think he would have gone through with that. So just think about back to the three-day thing. Even in that one day, that one emotional outburst that Judas had, realizing that Jesus wasn't exactly who he thought he was supposed to be, and he decides in his heart to betray Christ for money, because obviously he loved money more than he loved God and loved Jesus. So that fatal flaw that he had within himself, that greed took over him, which sin can overtake any of us anytime. We all know that. And so when he realizes how bad what his actions were, he wanted to undo it. And he was filled with remorse. And each of us throughout our lives, I know all of us are filled with remorse about some of the mistakes that we make, intentional or unintentional, out of emotion, out of anger, or whatever that negative emotion is, fear, guilt, you name it. We do so many things like spur of the moment, just like that, you know, knee-jerk reaction. And unfortunately, it can lead to devastating results, like what happened not so much to Judas yet, but certainly to Jesus. So that remorse, what does it cause Judas to go do? He takes the 30 pieces of silver back to the leading priests and the other leaders, and he says to them, "I have sinned." And he declares, "I have betrayed an innocent man." So he speaks what his guilt is. And of course, the Pharisees, who had what they wanted, they had Jesus and ready to be condemned. They wanted to be rid of him. They say, What do we care? That's your problem. Then Judas threw the money onto the floor of the temple and went out and hanged himself. So that's the end result, the sad ending of what happened to Judas. One decision, one bad decision that caused a major problem, obviously, filled him with remorse. And instead of going to Christ at the cross, because Jesus was condemned, he would be at the cross, certainly crucified. Judas could have had a change of heart and mind. Instead of going to the Pharisees, he could have gone maybe back to the disciples and said, "Yeah, I can't believe what I did. I made a huge mistake. I have sinned." Or maybe he could have realized that he couldn't change what he did, and maybe this is part of God's plan, whatever the case was. But he could have gone to that cross, watched the crucifixion, felt the guilt, felt the remorse, but also felt the forgiveness. Because at that cross, we know that Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Judas could have been right at the foot of the cross, receiving the forgiveness that he so needed. He couldn't get it from undoing it. He could only get it from God. So that one act of his, that big mistake that he made, caused him to end his own life because the guilt was so deep. And in comparison, we know that Peter also failed. He denied Christ 3 times. He didn't go to the cross either. Jesus was there alone, only with John and the other women that were there. But Peter went back with the disciples and hid. But 3 days went by. That 3 days made a difference to Peter. Because in 3 days, we know that Jesus rose from the dead. We also know that Jesus said to those women at the tomb, "Go tell my brothers and other disciples, and especially and including Peter, that I'm alive." 2 different endings took place here. A sad ending for Judas, although I'm not sure where the final ending was for him. I believe God's mercy and grace hopefully still gave him that opportunity for, and maybe in the second coming, if it hasn't happened already, he'll be forgiven, because God is a forgiving God. Perhaps God, because we see it in the scriptures, God knew what Judas, and he had seen what Judas had done with that remorse. I think God's a gracious, merciful God. That's just how I see God. But regardless of that, just think, if he would have only kept his cool, or even if he had gone through with the betrayal and just waited to talk to Jesus after the resurrection instead. Just think, 3 days, it would have only been 3 days, he would have had to wait, he would have been racked with guilt, he would have felt terrible, but Jesus, God acted on Jesus' behalf to raise him from the dead for Jesus to be glorified. He never got to see that happy ending. So I guess what I'm saying is, the difference to me in the two men, Peter, yes, he failed miserably, but he waited the 3 days to see what would happen. And for those of us that are trying to rush God sometimes, and we want, you know, because of what we want when we want it, I think that if we could just slow ourselves down and be less reactionary to what things happen in our lives and not try to rush in ahead of God or to do for God what we think God needs to do. What if you just, you know, you prayed? What if you waited 3 days? And let's just see what God does. Because we see the difference between these two men. Peter had a rejoicing opportunity at the end, and you've read in the book of John, you know, Jesus reinstates him. We know that Peter gets the Holy Spirit, becomes the very first preacher ever in the new church. His life was dramatically different after those 3 days. Everything changed for Peter after 3 days. So I guess what I'm saying to all of us is God always has a plan and always has a victory in the end. And regardless of whether we mess up or don't mess up, if you mess up, which you're going to probably keep doing, because I know I do it all the time, upside down video tonight as an example, God is a forgiving God. And yes, you can't always undo the mistake that you're making at the time, but you know what? God still forgives us because we're human. And if we'll just wait sometimes when we're wanting what we want to change in our life, instead of us trying to act before God is ready for us to act, I think we would have better outcomes, I guess is the best way I can say it. Same 3 days for both men. We're all going through the same pandemic situation right now, all of us. And all of us have decisions to make. And we can't always knee-jerk response to those things that are happening in any of our lives. I mean, most of us, I know all of us, because I have an empty church. No, not exactly empty. There are three people here with me, so I'm not totally alone. But where's my congregation? It's like, oh, man, I miss you guys. We could open the church and put everybody in here, couldn't we? But that wouldn't make any good sense, would it? Because God has a plan. God wants to keep us all alive, for one thing, I believe. And God wants us to use our common sense and to wait on God. Could it be 3 days? Could it be 7 days? Could it be 40 days? I don't know. All I know is this. We don't need to be rushing into things sometimes and reacting just emotionally because we feel like it in the moment. For those of us impulsive people, which I know I'm one, I have to wait 3 days very often before I make a major life decision. Because if I make it in the moment when I'm feeling like this is what I want to do and I got to have it and I got to buy it or I got to whatever, I got to hear where it go. Yeah, buy? Yes, okay. man, I get what they call buyer remorse. It's like, take it back to the store. So an interesting thing I must say, I'm kind of, the one blessing for me out of this, if there is such a thing as a blessing out of all this, because there's a lot of lessons to be learned. I'm not buying as much stuff from Amazon and sending it back because I'm not just like buying arbitrarily anymore because I got to think about it first. One, do they have it? Two, do I really want to possibly have an infected box come into my house? So I have to kind of think things out a little bit more, not to make light of a serious, serious condition. But, you know, lessons can be learned by waiting. I tell you an interesting thing about my ministry over the years, and since our musicians are here, I can say this. Years ago when I was pastoring, I absolutely had to have a choir. I had to, because churches have choirs. That's what I thought. And so I just went one Sunday and pointed at people and said, get up here and sing. Well, you can just imagine how that went. So needless to say, it was a joyful noise, I have to tell you that. But it wasn't the way God wanted it to be. God eventually, when God was ready and the people were ready and God's plan was meant to be, the right people have showed up here at this church to be our music ministry. So and you can always see it every time we gather together. So all of us were works in progress. I pray that if you make a mistake, one, forgive yourself immediately, because that's what God does. Go to God. Don't tell your story to other people about how you messed up. Tell it to God first. Ask God for forgiveness. God will give you that, because God is a forgiving God. And some of the mistakes we make, fortunately, sometimes we don't always get the consequences of it, but don't take things into your own hand. We have a little bit of control over life, And that's maybe this much. And we certainly have no control over what's going on right now in the world. So, but God is, and God is in control. Use and utilize the three-day rule. If you're upset with somebody, before you tell them off, wait 3 days. Think about it. Pray about it. Before you see a post on Facebook that's especially political in nature and it ticks you off, wait 3 days before you put the post up and just keep scrolling. And thirdly, if you're trying to get an answer to a question that you have, before you run ahead, wait 3 days and really know that God's giving you the right decision to make. Well, you'll know it in your heart. You'll know it in your spirit. You'll know when you're at peace. It won't just be reactive. It'll be because God wants it to be so. And the other part is, you know how I love surprises? See, I know God has a big surprise. Even though God promised through Jesus Christ that he would rise in 3 days, and they told the disciples that, they were still surprised. And God is continuing to do miraculous things that we're all going to be surprised about as well. So I do know and believe and trust when you pray for something, wait the 3 days, watch and see what God will do. Don't try to be God, because guess what? We're not. We're just not. So I won't tell any stories about any people who sometimes try to rush ahead. And it's like, oh, God worked this whole thing out and I didn't really have to even do anything. Cool. Take your hands off your life. Let God be the one that takes the steering wheel and drives your life. In terms of Peter and Judas, two different men, same Jesus in front of them, same loving God. So we have the same thing. Each and every one of us have the opportunity, no matter when it is, we can just wait for God to act and watch and see what God does. That helps your faith grow. That also makes your life a lot easier. I guess I'm kind of like a recliner chair Christian. I kind of like to recline back of my chair, relax, have my water, have my little dog on my lap, hold my wife's hand, and watch and see what God's going to do. It's really kind of cool to watch all the ways God can act on our behalf and your behalf and everyone's behalf. So wait 3 days and let's see what God does in all of our lives. Amen. Amen.